puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Well, this abandoned Manitoba segment has been 2 years in the making. Gordon Goldsby, I know you're a planner, but I'm impressed with this.
Well, it wasn't necessarily of my own choosing. I said last week that we are going to talk about an abandoned site here in Winnipeg that I've been holding back, for over 2 years. And this was at the request of the Department of National Defense, DND. And I was referring, of course, to the former Kapyong Barracks along Keniston Boulevard that was formerly home to the 2nd Battalion of the Princess Patricia's Canadian Light Infantry, or PPCLI for short. Of course, it's now based at CFB Shiloh out in Western Manitoba.
So why the need to remain silent about it?
Well, we tried for a couple of years to arrange a visit to the former Kapyong Barracks. And the idea was we wanted to photograph the buildings on behalf of the Manitoba Historical Society. You know, the idea is to preserve the record of the buildings having been there for the benefit of future historians. Well, finally, in August 2018, my colleague Nathan Kramer was successful at arranging, let's just say it was a chaperoned visit. We weren't allowed to walk around on our own. We had to have a military guide accompany us. One of the conditions of the visit, though, was that we could take as many photos as we wanted of anything we wanted, but we could not talk about them or share them until after the demolition of the buildings was complete. Well, my wife and I walked around the site a few weeks ago, and pretty much all of the buildings have now been reduced to rubble. So I feel that I'm safe in talking about the experience.
And so, you know, one of the very few, I guess, civilians to have been able to do so. What did you see? Take us through that trip inside.
We spent over 2 hours walking around the grounds. I mean, the area there is about 60 acres, so it's a fairly large space. And one of the things we did, for instance, was we walked along the abandoned paved streets in the parade grounds. And of course, a lot of them now are being sort of reclaimed by grass. There's cracks, the grass is growing up through them. The streets, well, they had signs on them that had names like Friesenberg Road, Mons Street, Passchendaele Road. These were the names of places in which the battalion had been engaged in battle. Or in the case of Galt Road, that was the name of the man who raised the PPCLI regiment back in 1914.
It is such an expansive area. How many buildings were there? Because we can only kind of see from the outside, but you were right there.
Well, a few of the buildings had already been demolished by the time of our visit, but we saw 22 in total. But we were only permitted to see the exteriors, not the interiors.
How come?
Well, we were told that there were hazardous materials that were inside some of the buildings and that had not yet been removed. The basement of at least one of the buildings was flooded. And so, in retrospect, though, if we had tried to see the interiors, too, it would have taken far longer than what turned out to be a very hot day. And so, you know, as it was, I took over 300 photos in those 2 hours, including several of every single building. So, you know, I have no complaints. And in fact, I thank DND for their cooperation. But to be entirely honest, our military guide did not know the former function of most of the buildings. Turns out he wasn't with the army. And so he had never served at the site. So we didn't know what some of the buildings were. So if any of our listeners can help in identifying what each of the buildings was, I'd certainly ask if they could maybe contact me and we could go through the photos.
So what do the buildings look like up close?
They're all one or two stories tall, so not especially high buildings. And they were really quite diverse in appearance. So, you know, they ranged from a small squat building to a large office building. And most of them didn't have names on them. Five buildings just had a plaque on the outside that gave the name of the building. And interestingly enough, those five buildings were all based on First World War battles in which the 2nd Battalion had been engaged. So there was Ypres, Mons, Vimy, Passchendaele, and Courcelette. The rest of them, well, they only had a very simple plaque on the outside. Basically, it was a two or three character designation of the letter B, and I had no idea what the letter B stood for, or so in a couple of cases, the letter P followed by a number. So things like BO2, and BO2 was the guardhouse at the entrance to the base. B08, we figured out was probably the recreation hall.
Gordon, tell us about the history of the site. For example, why was it called Kapyong Barracks?
Well, it acquired that name quite late in its history, back in 1973, after the battalion had returned from a six-month peacekeeping duty in Cyprus. That name, Kapyong, commemorates a battle that occurred in 1951 during the Korean War, in which the 2nd Battalion played a leading role. When the battalion returned from Korea, they went back to their base, of course. At that time, it was known as Fort Osborne Barracks, and today, that's the site of the Asper Jewish Community Campus along the Assiniboine River. It had been a military facility back since 1917, you know, in the late days of the First World War, when the former Manitoba Agricultural College was converted into a hospital for soldiers that were returning from the First World War. From 1957 to 1973, there were actually two sites that were known as Fort Osborne Barracks, the one in the north, the older one, and this one we're talking about today on the south side that had that name, Fort Osborne Barracks, for much of its history.
Do we know anything about the name? Why Fort Osborne? And I'm curious if it has anything to do with Osborne Street.
Well, it does, in fact. Fort Osborne Barracks were originally located where the legislative building now stands, and the road to the west, Osborne Street, took its name from the military base. The name Osborne comes from one of Manitoba's earliest military men, a fellow named William Osborne Smith. And he served here in the 1870s and 1880s. But the name Fort Osborne Barracks disappeared when the military moved its entire operation to the south site. You know, there was the north site on the, that was right along the Assiniboine, the south site along Keniston. And they say they moved out there entirely. And the provincial government took over the northern site. And they used it for several years as office space and for the juvenile court. In fact, my first job was with the provincial government, with their environment department. And we were based in what was called Building 2, a former military building at the northern site.
I love how they keep those building names straightforward, simple, to the point. I wanted to ask about actually the houses that are being demolished to make way for widening Keniston. Do we know anything about those houses?
Right. So, you know, as you drive up and down Keniston, you see that, of course, there's increasing numbers of them gone. And the idea is, of course, to widen the road eventually. Well, they appeared in the early 1950s. The Canadian military was expanding in size. The contingent of military personnel here in Winnipeg was growing, and they needed accommodation. So in 1951, the federal government spent about $2 million building 138 houses. 90 of them were single houses, 48 were duplexes. And that was the first phase in a grand plan to replace sort of the temporary and emergency quarters that were at the northern Fort Osborne Barracks site. Between 1954 and 1955, they added another 200 houses, along with two chapels, a guardhouse, and an administration building at the southern site, the one we're talking about today. In 1957, a one-story facility at the corner of Keniston and Grant, known originally as Fort Osborne Hall, later renamed Lipset Hall, well, it provided fully equipped gymnasia, a swimming pool, bowling alley, exercise rooms. It was really kind of a multifaceted sports facility. And I remember I was in it as a kid. I went to swim in the pool one time. That whole base, this whole new facility at Kapyong was open for public viewing in September of 1957.
So, Gordon, are all the buildings at Kapyong now gone?
Well, as far as I can tell during my visit, yes. Lipset Hall was one of the first to be demolished, along with some of the large buildings at the south end of the base. The only thing left now, as far as we could see from a few weeks ago, were large piles of rubble, and there's trucks that are hauling that away. But there is one small brick building right at the corner of Keniston and Grant. On our military map, it was designated as B01. We were told by our military chaperone that it would never be demolished. In fact, it's still standing there now because it did not belong to DND, but it was actually a Manitoba Hydro building. It was basically a service substation for the base and maybe the surrounding area for electricity.
Huh, one thing still left standing. That's kind of...
one sad reminder of what was once there.
Gordon, thank you for this. What's up for next week?
Well, you know, when buildings such as the one at Kapyong are demolished, you know, I'm reminded of a markedly different approach to the way a building can be removed. So, you know, it serves a more useful purpose than simply contributing to a landfill. So next week, we're going to talk about that alternative approach.
Very good. Very good, Gordon. Thank you for this.
You're quite welcome, Nadia. Bye-bye.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons.